You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, star U.S. gymnast Simone Biles pulled out of key Olympic events this week in part because of a psychological concern that could have put her in physical danger. We'll hear more about that decision, and then a sports psychologist joins the show with lessons for all of us. Now, what can an employer do to make sure that their employees feel respected? What if that employer is a professional football team and that employee is their star quarterback? Aaron Rodgers is back with the Packers, but it's not a cozy relationship. Rodgers says it's not just about money, it's about feeling respected for the work he's done and valuing his input. That's something that maybe a lot of people can relate to on the job. We're taking a look at what makes people feel good at the workplace, apart from the money, from the Packers to your place of work. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a job that you've had where you feel like you were listened to by your employer, or one where you weren't? Does it make a difference in your workplace happiness if you're listened to or not? And did the pandemic change the way you think about what matters at work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll talk to a Wisconsin business professor in just a few minutes. We'll start, though, with a look at the Aaron Rodgers story. Ryan Wood is a Packers reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Ryan, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, good to be here.
Let's take a listen to some of what Rodgers had to say at the top of a press conference this week. Got a lot of attention when asked about what happened in the offseason with this long-running saga and what had been frustrating him about the Packers organization.
And I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job. I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys.
You've been following this story, of course, Ryan, for quite a while now. What were some of your thoughts on what Rodgers had to say there?
Well, it's clear that he feels that he has more to bring to the table than what he's been invited to bring to the table so far. And, you know, whatever you feel about your opinions on whether he feels like he's overstepping or what he wants is overstepping or not, there's no question that he's given a lot of thought to where his assets can best be used. And that's what he wants to do. So I thought he articulated kind of his standpoint as thoroughly with as much clarity as you could possibly hope for, and kind of just put it in the court of public opinion.
A lot of times, Ryan, when we look at pro sports and conflicts over contracts, it's often about the money. We think it's all about the money. How often do we hear stories like this where it's about, respect and concerns over whether, you know, you're valued as a human being?
You know, that's a great point, because you're right. In pro sports, it usually does come down to the money. And Aaron Rodgers has made this clear that it's not about the money at all, right? I mean, he's still getting paid, but it's really not about the money. The Packers offered a two-year extension that would have been historic, would have made him the highest-paid player in the league this offseason, and he turned it down because he was doubling down on the idea that it's not about the money. What is this about? It really is about his word was involvement. But it's really about power. It's a power struggle within the hierarchy of the Green Bay Packers and how decisions are made and how influences are dispersed throughout the organization. And it's really a break from the norm. You usually see money struggles. Those are common. Power struggles like this, much less common.
There are two, extreme responses, and I think a lot of people are somewhere on the continuum. On the one hand, people could look at this and say, okay, there's this prima donna athlete who isn't staying in his lane and wants to stick his nose into contract decisions that aren't part of his job, to, hey, this guy's meant a lot to this organization. Why wouldn't they take his thoughts into account, given what he's contributed to the team? What are you seeing? Are you seeing the reaction going one way or another in those two camps?
Oh, I think you got it right. It's pretty evenly split. I think what's fascinating about this is, if you know anything about the history of the Green Bay Packers, and this dates back to when Ron Wolf became the GM in the beginning of the 1990s. So this goes back 30 years. For three decades now, there has been a football czar placed in that GM chair, an unquestioned unchallenged at times leader of the 90-man roster in the offseason, the 53-man roster in the regular season, that does not get strong-armed out of making his decisions for the roster. That has been with Ron Wolf, with Ted Thompson, and until now with Brian Gutekunst. That has been the way the Packers operate. This is a direct challenge to that. And in fact, we did see for the first time a break from that precedent when the Packers executed a trade for Randall Cobb that Brian Gutekunst said he would not have made if not for making Aaron Rodgers happy. This is Aaron Rodgers' trade. It's not Brian Gutekunst's trade. The question going forward is how much that will continue. Brian Gutekunst called it a unique circumstance. Is this a one-off? Is this a welcome back present to Aaron Rodgers? Welcome back. Here's a gift. It's Randall Cobb. Or is this going to be a new day in how decisions are made? That's the thing to really keep an eye on going forward.
Talking to Ryan Wood, Packers reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Looking at the Aaron Rodgers situation, wider issues too of respect for employees, how employees are treated in the workplace. We're going to be talking to a business professor in just a few minutes about that. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Is it important to you to be listened to and feel like you're valued, your opinion is valued at the workplace, whether you're a Green Bay Packer or not? Odds are not, I guess. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Ryan, Aaron Rodgers now is practicing with the team. You're looking at training camp now. Do things feel weird that we're coming out of this high-profile dispute?
The thing that feels weird is how not weird it feels, if that makes any sense. You know, if for 3 months, if you would have wondered what the start of training camp would look like, I think you'd come up with a lot of different ideas. But everything out there looks normal. Aaron Rodgers is wearing that red number 12 jersey, that no-touch jersey that quarterbacks wear for bragging. He's worn for 15 years, 16 years now. And he's taken all the first-team reps. He's the center of attention on the practice field the way he's always been. The weird part of this is how quickly everything kind of went back to normal. But there's also the, you know, what makes this a bit surreal is the Packers have bought themselves a year now, the 2021 season, with Aaron Rodgers back as being contenders, but they've also kicked the can down the road. And this is something they're going to have to return to next spring. They're going to either have to trade him or extend him. So they've kind of delayed this conversation a little bit. But in the meantime, everyone seems like they're very, very much pleased to just kind of focus on the now and appreciate this potential one last run at a Super Bowl.
Ryan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Anytime. Take care.
That's Ryan Wood. He covers the Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. We talked to him about a candid Aaron Rodgers press conference that raised a number of interesting questions about labor relations that we'll continue to explore coming up. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Most of us are not professional football players, but these issues come up in most any workplace. How important is it to you, if you're an employee, that your management, whatever that looks like, listens to you, values your opinion? And if you manage other people, how do you try to do that? How do you try to listen to the people who work for you, take their needs and wants into account? How important is that? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about how we respect and appreciate employees, an ongoing saga, a drama with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but it's the kind of thing that could happen in any workplace. Do workers feel respected and listened to? How important is that? You could join in with your thoughts on that very topic at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Mark Schaefer is an associate professor of economics and director of the Center for Business and Economic Analysis just down the street from Lambeau Field at St. Norbert College's Donald J. Schneider School of Business and Economics. Well, a little further than just down the street. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, happy to be here.
Well, we've been talking about Aaron Rodgers, but these are situations that can come up in any workplace. As you look at this situation, what does it make you think about in terms of, you know, not just the dollars and cents relationship between boss and worker, but I don't know, that idea of respect and listening to employees?
You know, I think you're kind of hitting it right on the head. I think from a firm perspective, firms really want employees to be engaged. They want them to be engaged in the mission, engaged in the objective of what that firm is trying to do. And the flip side of that is, I think, to get that engagement, employees need to feel valued. They need to have trust in leadership. They have to feel supported by the management. It has to be a positive working environment, opportunities for growth. All of those things are going to play into this conversation. And I think that's coming out a little bit in the press conference, is that feeling of wanting to be valued is an important aspect that I think a lot of us seek for any of our employment opportunities in our jobs. And I think a great example of that, maybe to sort of focus on the pandemic, for example, you know, prior to the pandemic, remote work was kind of few and far between. I think I saw a statistic that said about 5% of work days were basically remote work prior to the pandemic. And obviously, it increased a lot during the pandemic. And one of the things that was a surprising statistic that I saw in a consulting report was that after, this was maybe, let's say, January of this year, about 88% of employees felt like their productivity in the remote work environment either stayed the same or increased. And shockingly, employers actually, about 84% agreed in the same way. And I think that hits on the idea that trust is an important thing. And that remote work thing is a very much a trust issue. So I think this is something that is playing out generally in the workplace, but maybe even more so as we sort of are moving through this pandemic and what the future holds for the workplace environment.
On the flip side, if I'm running an organization, I may value this employee, my quarterback or my counter clerk or whatever it might be. But I know things that they don't, and I am managing a big picture, and I don't want them to go too far out of their lane and think they run the place. How do we split the difference there?
You know, I don't know if I have the you know, the magic bullet or the perfect answer to that question, because that's a great question. I mean, I think that gets to back to sort of that trust in the leadership and supportive management. I mean, because you're exactly right. I mean, you have a star employee, for example, that's doing everything really well, very successful, turning in good numbers or whatever the context of that job is. But again, they're not privy to the big picture, for example. And I think that's kind of where the trust piece is really the critical component to sort of blending the gap between those two things.
Now, you mentioned the pandemic that has shaken up, obviously, workplaces a lot. It opened the door, as you just mentioned, to remote working. Are there other things that you think are changing in the employer-employee relationship as all this goes on?
You know, I think maybe one important thing, and this is maybe a contextual thing, that might tie a little bit to some of the comments that Rogers had made. You know, there's a little bit of a piece here about like leverage. So, for example, suppose, you know, I'm doing really well and I want to go to my boss and say, you know, I think I'm doing good. I think I deserve a raise. And there's a whole conversation to be had there. And I think what's interesting right now in our current labor market, and I'm a macroeconomist by training, so I spend a good amount of time looking at labor markets. You know, if you actually compare, and this is maybe a comparison that some of our listeners are going to be familiar with, is if you think back to the financial crisis, 2007, we had a period of high unemployment. And just like our current environment, we have this period of high unemployment that's sort of starting to come down. But what's interesting, and Rob, I apologize if you lose any listeners from me talking like an economist here for a second, but you know, in the financial crisis, we had a situation where we actually had a lot of workers. We had a high labor supply, but there weren't enough jobs to really go around. Whereas the situation we have right now is almost the exact opposite, where we actually have a lot of firms are like looking for workers, but there's not enough workers coming in to fill those positions. And the reason why I think that's an important thing to note is that basically gets to kind of who's a little bit more in the driver's seat. So in the financial crisis type period, you basically had the firms were in the driver's seat, right? Workers were just, we want a job. So firms could actually, you know, be a little bit more strong arm with lower wages or things like that, potentially in that environment. Whereas in our current environment, we have a situation where I think you're seeing all kinds of incentives happening to get workers to come work in certain jobs and in certain sectors. And I think that's really important when you think about the concept of this leverage component, because you might even have a lot of workers who are working right now and they're looking at, well, what are the benefits I'm getting now in the post-COVID environment? We were remote work. Is that going to continue? Do we get one day? Do we get 2 days? Is that gone? And they're looking for all these extra benefits now. But they also know, hey, now might be a decent time that I can shop around for maybe a job that might give me more of those benefits that I want if my current employer is not giving them to me. I think that's where you're kind of seeing an interesting change in the environment right now, because it's a tight labor market where you're kind of seeing the workers have a little bit more power here, only because the firms need the workers and there's just not enough of them coming in to fill these jobs. And to be clear, that's in certain sectors, not all sectors across the board.
We're talking to Mark Schaefer from St. Norbert College, professor, associate professor of economics there. We are looking about respect at the workplace. Do you, as an employee, feel respected by your organization, by your manager? Prompted in part by Aaron Rodgers, you know, the Green Bay Packers guy, saying he's getting paid fine, doesn't feel respected or valued in some ways by management. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Has this been an issue for better or worse for you at work as an employee and employer? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We heard from Megan in Madison who called in, couldn't stay on the line. Megan says it's really important for her that her boss take her opinions into consideration. She said she had a boss who wasn't interested in, at all in what she had to say, and it was so bad she actually quit. So, Mark, how important do you think this kind of thing can be for employee retention?
I mean, I think it's absolutely huge. I mean, the crux of our entire conversation has been, you know, do you as an employee feel valued? And that listener's comment right there, I think, hits that exactly on the head. I mean, if you have thoughts and opinions, now, to be fair, management's not always going to take them, and management's not always, you know, the bad guy or something like that in this conversation, of course. But I do think that feeling like you're being heard is an important part of feeling valued. And if you're not being heard, then you're obviously not going to feel that value. And I think part of that also aligns to, you want to know you have a future in your current environment, your current workplace, right? And if you feel like everything you're suggesting and saying is falling on deaf ears, you know, you're going to have employees that feel like, well, maybe there's a place that I can grow. That's a much better environment for me to thrive in.
You confessed already to being an economist, Mark. I wonder, does the field of economics take these kind of intangibles into consideration? I mean, I know we think about the dollars and cents and maybe the benefits and what they value. Is it possible to study these things and take into account these intangibles like respect and how you're treated at a workplace?
I mean, I think if you really want to lose a lot of listeners, Rob, we could go into some journal article conversations about this topic. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's a whole field of labor economics that looks at a lot of these types of questions. And this is also blending into management and human resource research and things of that nature. There's many studies that look at what are all these other benefit factors that seem to be extremely important. This is just some survey stuff recently from the Deloitte consulting firm. They were actually surveying employees and companies about a host of different things. And one of the things that came out, just as an example of something that's important to workers and apparently now executives too, is the opportunity for upskilling, training, growing as sort of in your profession, in your field. I saw statistics that 90% of companies believe this is an important thing moving forward, is that upskilling be a required thing for employees, giving them the time to actually grow and develop in that way. So that's like a recent touch point of some research that basically said this is a new thing that is an extremely important topic moving forward. So that's one sort of example of something that might come to light in that context.
Do you think more companies are going to embrace things like that, the flexibility to allow some work at home, more flexible hours where that's possible? Are companies going to be embracing these kind of things more?
You know, I think there's going to be an interesting dynamic across, and again, there's going to be different industries that we're talking about. We're talking about remote work, because some industries that just doesn't obviously make sense for, let's say, hospitality and services sector, for example. But I do think moving forward, this is a huge conversation. As I mentioned, and not to make the entire conversation about remote work, but, you know, prior to this, I mentioned about 5% of jobs were kind of work from home structured. Some recent research out of the University of Chicago has suggested, you know, moving forward, sort of post pandemic, and you know, there's obviously where we are on that right now is a different conversation. But post pandemic, they're suggesting, estimating at least 20% of all full workdays will take place in a work from home environment moving forward. And I think part of that gets to the comments I made earlier about the tight labor market. I think you have a lot of employees that said, hey, look, I did remote work and it worked. We were productive. Now, are you going to allow us to still do some of that? And if you're not, that's fine. But I might take this opportunity now to shop around. I think that's going to be a pressure that's going to be put on a lot of firms right now, figuring out how to manage this moving forward. And I think that's a huge question for firms right now. And it's a huge challenge.
Let's bring on a caller now. Sorry, I'm going to jump in. We've got Lou on the line in northern Wisconsin. Lou, hi.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What do you want to tell us about, Lou?
That I work for a great company, Pathways Transport. And they are actually a, kind of a two-sided, very small, small local business. They have CARES and transport. And they know that with my past experience of home care nurse, that they can put me on both sides. And they always respect the fact that, you know, they always ask first. I tell them, don't ask, just tell me what you want me to do. You know, I'm your worker. I'm here for you. But they always say, hey, you know, we've got to put you on the care side, or we're going to have you just driving this week or whatever. You know, and they do consider, I will speak for myself, they do consider the employer or the employee, and, you know, they ask and take into account, you know, things that are going on with your family. They're very... very personable that way.
And it sounds like that's worth something to you, Lou.
It is. Even through the pandemic, they were just very, very good about watching out for our safety.
Lou, thanks a lot for that call. Mark, just in our last few moments, your thoughts on what Lou said, and it seems like she likes that working place for that reason.
You know, I think Lou's comment is a great way to sort of end the conversation here. And that is, I think, you know, especially if you look at the pandemic situation, there's a lot of firms out there that really did an amazing job taking care of their employees, trying to be flexible, trying to help them in that way. And I think that's a great way to sort of end the conversation is, you know, this is a two-sided thing. There's, you know, there's an employee perspective and employer perspective. And I think, you know, the more that those two parties obviously can work together and build that trust, the better we're going to be.
Lou, thanks for that call. And Mark, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Mark Schaefer is Associate Professor of Economics at the St. Norbert College Donald J. Schneider School of Business and Economics. We talked to him about the changing ways employers are trying to show respect and appreciation for employees, including non-monetary ways, inspired by some comments about the Packers by returning quarterback Aaron Rodgers.